Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
I'm excited about today's podcast. I have an author with me, an entrepreneur. I have Taraj Parang with me. Taraj, it's great to have you on the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast.
It's a pleasure and honor to be here.
All right. So I always like to start out. We're gonna jump to your book, but you've been a lawyer, a venture capitalist. You're in Silicon Valley for the duration of your career. So that's unique. But what I really want to talk about is how do you become an entrepreneur? You go the established route, being a lawyer, highly educated, obviously, and then you slipped over into the entrepreneurial end of it. I want to hear how that happened.
Yeah, so I probably didn't go about it the more proper way, the traditional way, but I found my way to it, as you said, Sean. So I was an undergrad at Stanford here in the Bay Area. That was my first exposure in the 90s to the entrepreneurial environment of the Bay Area, Silicon Valley. And I kind of fell in love with it. I was a philosophy major, so naturally I wanted to go to law school. So after undergrad, I went to the East Coast, went to law school, but I knew I wanted to come back to the Bay Area. So first chance I got, I came back, became a corporate lawyer representing startups from their formation to IPO, M&A. And I realized that entrepreneurs were having a lot more fun than I did as a lawyer. So tried to network my way into an opportunity to join the business world. What I found was, luckily, a European venture capital firm wanted to open a presence here in Silicon Valley, and they were looking for someone that fit my background. So I helped them do that. And I kind of got my backdoor MBA by being an associate at a venture capital firm, being exposed to lots of different ideas from healthcare to, hardware to software, etc. And then the first chance I got, and I kind of summoned the courage in 2005 to start then my own company, which was a mobile social network. And that was a very interesting experience, a good learning experience for me.
Yeah, but I love what you did though. And I tell anybody, if you ever get the chance to work with a startup, that's how you're going to learn how to start companies, because you can see the mistakes they make. And there's going to be some. You're going to see the few things that they do that's really, really good. And you get the combination, but there's nothing more valuable, in my opinion, than to be involved in a startup if you want to be an entrepreneur.
I totally agree. In fact, at my first startup, we had a number of interns. These were students that in their like junior year or senior year, they did an internship with us, and senior year of college. And they all have become incredible entrepreneurs of their own right, and they've sold multiple companies and done great things. So yeah, I couldn't agree more.
So okay, so you start this company in the mid 2000s here. How do we get to where we're at now, to where you're writing a book called Exit Path? How to exit businesses. So take me through the journey that got you to where you can credibly talk about this subject.
But
write a book about it.
So what happened with my first startup is that we had an incredible run. So we went from 0 to 10 million users in the first year, and it became a viral phenomenon. We had $20 million from the top tier VCs kind of on our wish list. And things were going really well until we hit the 2008-2009 downturn. And then we needed to raise another round because our modus operandi was grow, worry about profitability later. And unfortunately, that came back to haunt us. And also what came to haunt us is that we were just kind of heads down doing our own thing. And we didn't look around, try to establish strategic partnerships or any meaningful exit options for ourselves. So that really hurt us as well. So we had only 6 months of runway left. We had to find an acquirer, and really everybody else was licking their own wounds. And so we got kind of left behind. And so we had to do a fire sale. That was a very traumatic and chaotic experience. I took those lessons learned, and for my next startup, Webs, I came in as a head of strategy and corp dev. And the first thing I did was establish relationships. And I helped turn around that company. And 2 years, we went from, you know, $10, $20 million valuation to selling it at $120 million almost.
Nothing,
and 600%. Just saw the power of, you know, what that kind of strategic thinking brings and how it can really change the story. And then I've been an advisor to many other startups. Then I flipped on the acquirer side also for 7 years at GoDaddy. And I really saw what are the things that make startups successful in those courtship and negotiations with acquirers and what sets them up for failure. So I felt like, you know, I've been around the table at every seat around the table. I might as well kind of put this in writing because I feel like I can actually help a lot of entrepreneurs not make my mistakes and also benefit from the learnings.
No doubt. Let's talk through the exit path. And because I always tell entrepreneurs the first 2 years, start your business as if you're going to sell it. You may never sell it. Everybody says they don't want to sell it. You'll be shocked. There will be a time when either an offer will present itself or you get to a stage in life or there's just something new that challenges you. I mean, 90% of the time, something of that nature, you know, comes to play. So I would love to hear your strategy of the exit path. Like,
Sean, that advice is golden, right? So very few people actually do give that advice to entrepreneurs. The opposite actually is true today, which is a lot of people say, don't even talk about your exit strategy with investors, you know, kind of can spook them. They may think you're a mercenary, not a missionary. So there's a lot of misunderstandings and taboo that goes around this whole exit discussion, which I try to dispel in the book. And, you know, actually being mindful of what your exit strategy is a fantastic way to build a business, even if you don't have to sell it ultimately, right? You don't build to flip, but you build to sustain. You build a sustainable business, which is, yeah, go ahead.
I apologize. I'm so excited about what you're talking about because I like, if you know at some point you're going to have a report card, well, you're going to read the text, you're going to read the book. If you don't ever think there's going to be a test, well, you don't read it. You don't learn the material. So to me, the logical end of it is that if I build it where it can sell, well, I have a valuation. Banks are more favorable to me. I'm probably much better able to bring in paid partners, strategic partners, investors. I mean, I have a company like that. Well, going to get money when I need it is going to be a whole lot easier than trying to create this attractive company on the fly. So to me, it just always made sense to build it like you would sell it, like you could sell it. And if you don't, that's fine. But having that, you know, in your back pocket, there's no downside of that.
Yes, exactly. Having that option, because a lot of things are out of our control as entrepreneurs, you know, the economic downturns, pandemics, God knows what. But what one thing we can control is actually the strategic destiny of our startups. Who do we want to create alliances with? Who do we think are strategic partners that could, if need be, throw us a lifeline? If not, we can actually grow big together. So having that mindset helps you get in the ecosystem, get out of your own four walls and understand who are the players and build those relationships. And they take time. You know, you can't cram a strategic relationship in a 6 month courtship, which I found to my dismay in the first startup. It takes years, you know, at GoDaddy, the many, many companies we acquired, the average length of time we knew them was over a year. So, and you know, for every IPO, there's 30 or more acquisitions. So acquisitions actually are the much more likely path to success for startups, but people don't necessarily internalize that.
So tell me this, give me some advice to my audience. If you had 5 minutes to sit, you had your elevator, just forget the elevator pitch. This elevator got locked in. Okay. It was going up and we had an elevator malfunction. So you don't have 30 seconds, but give me the key things that, you know, for entrepreneurs that they need to be thinking about in regards to exiting their business. We've already established that it's not a bad idea to plan for that from day one. That's why I'm a proponent of a business plan and things of that nature. Because I think if you start with the end in mind, you naturally reverse engineer things in a better direction. And, you know, Stephen Covey wrote that in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, begin with the end in mind. And it's just so it's applicable in nearly anything you do in life. And it surely as a startup. But I want to hear what the top pieces of advice that you would give entrepreneurs.
Well, one of my biggest pieces of advice is don't do it alone. And that goes into multiple dimensions. So have a co-founder, surround yourself with people who are advisors, mentors, partners, just be out there and make connections, right? Entrepreneurship should not be a solitary endeavor. And whoever does that is going about it the wrong way.
I'm addicted to partnerships. So it's funny you say that. Like I wanted to interrupt 2 minutes ago. I'm going to leave it at that. But I'm addicted to partnerships of any, you know, what you can do with 2 people and more than that is so much better than what you can do it yourself. I don't care how brilliant you think you are. I always say Steve Jobs is pretty brilliant. He had a co-founder. Bill Gates was pretty brilliant. He had a co-founder. Warren Buffett has a partner. I mean, you can go all the way down the line.
Absolutely. It is so hard to do it as a solo entrepreneur. So definitely have one or more partners, early employees, early founders, founding employees, right? And then, you know, get out there. You know, your time, a lot of your time should be out there meeting and getting to know others in your ecosystem and start building and growing that network. Because ultimately, your success is determined by the breadth and depth of your network. And as a CEO, as a founder, especially, you're out there evangelizing your message and trying to bring on board allies. Now, some of those allies can become acquirers, can become very lucrative partners. And the way to do that is build relationships. So a lot of what I emphasize in my book is how to build those relationships, how to grow your network, because that sort of gets missed in this whole conversations about valuations and leverage and things like that. But ultimately, it is people that make deals, not companies.
There's no question about that. So what does the future hold for you? Obviously, you're the author of Exit Path, and I encourage my readers to get that because I'm a fanatic about knowing how you're going to exit, because there's zero downside of that. What does the future hold for you in this space?
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, I am an entrepreneur myself, and I am the chief operating officer of Serve Robotics, which is an exciting autonomous robotics company. We do food deliveries and convenience deliveries right now in California. I'm also an advisor at Pear VC, which is a seed stage venture capital firm in Palo Alto, Silicon Valley, but we are investing globally. So I like to be a cheerleader to entrepreneurs. That's what I like to do. And hope I can keep on doing that.
I'm addicted. Once you're an entrepreneur, I'm addicted to equipping, encouraging, educating entrepreneurs. So I completely understand what you're talking about. I have Taraj Parang with me. He's the author of Exit Path. I so encourage you to get this book. Taraj, I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Sean.
All right. Again, this podcast is brought to you by GetStartedMarketing.com. Thank you so much for continuing to listen to the podcast. It continues to grow. Tell 3 friends this week about it. Give it a great review. Thank you so much for being on the podcast and listening to it. And we're just so grateful for that. Thank you.